Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A 28-year-old ex-Marine who attended high school in Michigan now facing a death sentence in Iran, convicted by an Iranian court of spying for the U.S., the State Department calling the accusation a complete fabrication, and Amir Hekmati's family saying he was simply visiting his grandmother's. The Council on American-Islamic Relations calling for his release, and Michigan Executive Director Daoud Waleed joins me now to tell me more about the case. Welcome to the program, Daoud.
Thank you very much.
So from what I understand, he actually visited the Iranian interest section in Washington, D.C. before his trip because he was concerned about this happening and his military background. He was told that he would be safe and there would be no problem. But then it looks like Iranian officials in Washington actually contacted authorities in Tehran and got him in this bind. What's happening here and why is Iran doing this?
Well, according to what the family says, that, as you stated, he basically dotted his I's and crossed his T's before he went into Iran, hoping that he wouldn't have any troubles based upon his military service here in the United States of America. And Mr. Hekmati entered into Iran with an Iranian passport, not an American passport, because the Iranian government does not recognize dual citizenship for anyone of their citizens with America. So he entered, according to the Iranians, as an Iranian citizen who basically, through his military service, was committing an act of treason, from what I understand of the court proceedings. I can't say totally sure of the reasons or the motivations why the Iranian officials or authorities detained him to begin with, but I think we all know that there has been a heightened level of tension between our country and the Iranian government with the series of sanctions that have been placed upon them. Certain statements that have been made from Iranian government officials that are viewed as being hostile. They've had a number of their nuclear scientists that have been killed, including one in recent weeks. So there's a very high level of tension between our government and the Iranian government that we probably haven't seen since the 1979 revolution, in which our embassy workers were held hostage by the Iranian university students.
What is the status of Americans going into Iran? Are they allowed in the country? And could really any American now be targeted for this kind of a spying charge?
Well, it's very difficult for any American, including a Muslim American who is not of Iranian ethnicity, to get into the country of Iran, because our nation and their nation have no diplomatic communication, and you know, we don't have an embassy there, nor do they have an embassy here. There's no. It is extremely difficult for an American to get a visa, and that's why most Iranian expats, when they go back to visit family in Iran, that they enter with an Iranian passport, because if they tried entering with an American passport, they would be turned around.
How would you describe the Iranian court system? Does a defendant facing this kind of a charge by the government have any real chance of getting a fair trial?
I can't say that with the utmost certainty, because I haven't studied the jurisprudence system of Iran. I do know that from what the family has said, that they sought to retain an attorney in Iran, and that Mr. Hekmati was given a court-appointed attorney, not the attorney that the family wanted, as well as there was a closed-door trial that wasn't open to the public. But, you know, even in our jurisprudence system, there are cases in American court where court proceedings are closed to the public. But I really can't speak to the justice or lack of justice within the Iranian jurisprudence system in comparison to ours, because I'm not an expert on Iranian law.
I'm talking to Daoud Waleed. He's the Michigan Executive Director for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Now, the council sent a letter to Iran's supreme leader. What is the power structure in Iran, and how does the supreme leader fit into it?
Well, Iran has a parliamentary system, and they have the executive branch. They have a judicial branch that's separate, and they have basically a legislative branch, similarly to like what we do. However, they have what we don't have, which is their supreme leader has the right to override any legislation that he feels, according to his interpretation of Islam, that goes against the holy book of Muslims, the Quran. And it's the supreme leader who has the authority to commute anyone's sentence or give clemency. And this is the reason why we did write the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, asking that he show mercy for Mr. Hikmati. And this is why we also said we'd be willing to fly over there and speak with them if it meant getting Mr. Hikmati freed. And in our appeal isn't a political appeal. Our appeal is trying to speak with them as individuals who share a similar religion, and based upon our principles of faith and mercy, that we hope that he would show some sort of mercy, just as there have been other cases where we've contacted the Iranians in which Americans were held, like Iranian-American journalist Rexana Sabri, and the three hikers that were released not long ago, in which we contacted the Iranians and asked for clemency and mercy, and those Americans were also released at that time. So we're hoping that the same thing can happen with Mr. Hikmati.
How is that justified, though, if their court system convicts someone after a trial of spying? How do they justify then releasing that person?
That's a very good question, and I just chuckled because it's kind of the same thing that people are saying in Mississippi, where the former governor gave people clemency and let people go that were convicted of murder. Strange things happen when it comes to people who have the authority to grant pardons.
Would it be fair to say that the Iranian government is using Mr. Hikmati as a political pawn?
Well, I know that that's what many people feel, and that's what the family feels. I can't say for certain, but what I can say is that there needs to be some type of broader conversation regarding our relationship with Iran and the Iranian government. And definitely, two wrongs don't make a right. If Mr. Hikmati is in fact not a CIA spy, and that means that they coerced a confession from him. If he in fact did have some type of relationship with the government or working on behalf of the CIA, which I believe he wasn't because our State Department denies it, at least there should have been a more open and transparent trial in regards to what happened with him, and we know that that didn't happen.
When we talk about the Iranian government, we're talking about a government that has shown that it's willing to suppress public demonstrations in a very, very violent manner. Does the current government represent the will of the majority of the country?
I mean, that's not really my position to say. I mean, I do know that there are people here in metropolitan Detroit who are of Iranian heritage. And I know that as they disagreed very much with the Iranian crackdown and how they feel that the election process was basically the results may have been tampered with by Ahmadinejad, they aren't necessarily totally against the system of government there per se, but maybe some of those people who are in power who are corrupt and maybe using some of the laws to their advantage of marginalizing certain voices. But again, I'm not an expert on all of the internal political dynamics within the country of Iran.
Finally, when it comes to Mr. Hikmati, would you say that it's very clear that justice has not been served here in the Iranian court, and his situation is being manipulated by that government?
I would say that in regards to Mr. Hikmati and his appeal, that I would hope that in that process that Mr. Hikmati would be able to get the attorney of his choosing, the choosing of his family, and that there's a more transparent process in regards to the judiciary. And with that, I wish that there was more transparency in terms of that. But we'll have to wait and see. But again, I hope that our letter is taken with some level of seriousness by the Islamic Republic, and you know, we're again not acting on behalf of the United States government, but in our own advocacy as a as an NGO, and applying and I mean, and hoping that you know, as before, we were able to advocate for the release of fellow Americans that our similar advocacy will help Mr. Hikmati come home.
Michigan Executive Director for the Council on American Islamic Relations, Dawood Waleed. Dawood, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
And I'll be right back with more, but first, send me an email. Let me know what you think. Our email address is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.